Politics, politics, politics. I'm not talking about what we're seeing in the news these days. I'm talking about the gospel of today's Mass, which contains many geographic references and historical allusions. We understand the gospel better if we know a little bit about that background. And if we do, we see the part that politics plays in the unfolding of the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Today's gospel began by saying, when Jesus heard that John, that would be John the Baptist, of course, had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. We always hear about John the Baptist on the second Sunday of Advent, but that's been a long time ago already. I don't know if you remember or not what's always said of John the Baptist, that he was at the Jordan baptizing, and that all Jerusalem, people from throughout Judea and the land across the Jordan were coming to him to be baptized. So the geography there is that John the Baptist was very much in the heartland of the promised land, in that part of the country called Judea, which included Jerusalem. John was not far from Jerusalem. King Herod was in Jerusalem, and of course that's what got John the Baptist into trouble, because the proximate cause of John's being beheaded was the criticism of Herod's marital arrangement that he made. John was in the heartland. He was very close to the capital of Jerusalem. So when he made a moral point, the people that he might provoke were right there, close by, to hear it. It was not just the political capital, of course, it was also the religious capital. And so you had in Jerusalem lots of Pharisees and Sadducees, different parties, different interpretations of Judaism, always ready to make an argument over the latest interpretation of what the law of Moses included. You had the scribes and the scholars of the law who were zealous for holding on to the law of Moses as it had been handed down. Judea, where John the Baptist had worked, where Jesus had come to be baptized, was the heartland of the promised land, but it was a dangerous place for a new religious movement to start. And so the gospel tells us when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. By the standards of the Holy Land, a long way away. North of Judea was Samaria. The Samaritans come in for a couple of mentions in the Gospels. You know the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Samaritans were looked down on by the Jewish people because through the centuries of invasion and conquest, there had been intermarriage in Samaria, and the Samaritans were maybe not quite as Jewish. Their pedigree wasn't quite as good as the people in Judea. So you had Judea, you had Samaria, and way north of that again was Galilee, really an outpost. Galilee had been the first land to be lost as the kingdom, the great kingdom of David and Solomon, deteriorated. So many Gentiles living there. Also, it was where the mountains gave way to more easily crossed land. And so it was a great route from Syria to the sea, to the Mediterranean. So lots of Gentiles there. Lots of pagans. Lots of Hellenism. Adoption of Greek customs that would just not be at all a part of the staunch tradition of the law of Israel. But that's where the Lord went. Far from the center of political power, far from the center of religious zeal, up to the hinterlands, where the Jewish population was, didn't have the problem of the Sumerians of being mixed, but they were not as dominant a majority as they were down in Judea. It was a place where a new message could have a little room to be proclaimed before the authorities reacted. And so many of the places we hear about in the New Testament, in the Gospels, the places where the Lord performed his miracles, places where he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath, places where he taught, they're all up there in Galilee, far from the heartland. And of course, can't help but remember, it was in Jerusalem that the Lord got into trouble for the ultimate crucifixion and death that he was going to endure. So, the Lord was born into this world. He was born into a world in which there are political realities. The Lord did not see himself as set apart from those political realities. He dealt with them. And later on, he told his disciples, "Be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." Make sure that your intentions are pure, your intentions are innocent. What you are trying to accomplish is above reproach, but take good account of the lay of the land as you go about doing what you need to do. Of course, the gospel isn't just about being savvy, taking account of political realities. There's a lot of theology in it too. Galilee wasn't just a convenient place for the Lord to begin his public mission. It was also a place where he could fulfill the beautiful prophecy we hear from Isaiah in the first reading today. "First the Lord degraded the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali." So, when the children of Israel came back from Egypt and Joshua led them in the reconquest of the promised land, all the land in the kingdom, well, it wasn't a kingdom yet, all the promised land was divided among the 12 tribes, the 12 sons of Jacob. So Zebulun and Naphtali were the two tribes that got the northernmost part of the promised land, what was called Galilee by the time of Jesus. First, the Lord degraded the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the end, he has glorified the seaward road, the land west of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, Galilee of the pagans. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwelt in the land of gloom, a light has shone. So that wasn't the place of the bright lights, the place where the faith, Jewish faith, was the most fervently embraced and observed up in Galilee. There were people walking in darkness, affected by Hellenism, a minority. But it was there where people were living in a land of gloom that a great light has been seen. You have brought them abundant joy and great rejoicing. Great words from the prophet Isaiah. It was there in Galilee that the Lord began his work and found those who were looking for something different, something better. At the end of the gospel today, he calls four of his first disciples who will become apostles, Simon, Andrew, James, and John, to become fishers of men, those who go out looking for those who are living in a land of darkness and gloom, but who are ready for something better. So Galilee wasn't just a safe place or a convenient place to start the preaching of the gospel. It was the place where people were ready to hear and to respond to that preaching. And so in the life of the church, we're never discouraged, because when we see a certain darkness and a certain gloom around us, when we see fewer people taking to heart the truth of the faith, trying to live the Christian life, it's not something that gives us the cause to despair. But we say again, here is the fertile field where, in a land of darkness and gloom, people are becoming ready to hear again the good news that the Lord Jesus first proclaimed in Galilee. And I think in my own lifetime, I've really seen that, especially in the last, 30, 35 years since the beginning of the pontificate of the great St. John Paul II, that hearts are ready to respond to the summons and the hope and the challenge of the gospel, especially young hearts. So today, as we celebrate the Eucharist, we might have this sense that we are living in Galilee of the Gentiles in some way. But is not a cause for discouragement. On the contrary, we want to give thanks to God, first of all, that here in our own Galilee, the Lord has begun his work. Not because of the geography of the place, but because we are in the bosom of the church, where we have met the Lord. We have heard his teaching. We have encountered him in the sacraments. We thank the Lord for bringing the light of the gospel to us, into our own lives. We ask him to help us to live more entirely, more generously in that light, and to be witnesses of that light to others.